Little in the way of additional snow accumulation is expected anywhere around here. Blustery west-northwest winds will keep causing some blowing and drifting as well. Winds will continue to supply cold air in the region through the end of this week. We're seeing a high today of 23 degrees with scattered flurries for the rest of the afternoon. Winds gusting up to 30 miles an hour out of the northwest, sustained winds at 15 to 20, so there will be drifting again. Mostly cloudy tonight and turning colder, the low 8 above. Winds of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour, so wind chills will be in the zero area, if not less. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high of 20 degrees. Winds will be out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Down to 14 tomorrow night under a cloudy sky, and Friday partly sunny with a high of 28. Mostly cloudy again on Friday night with another chance of snow moving in. And then Saturday through Tuesday, we'll see clouds and near steady temperatures Friday night in the mid-20s, low 30s for the high on Saturday. Sunday and Monday, Martin Luther King Day, will be in the low 20s for highs and low Saturday night around 15, Sunday and Monday around 10. Temperatures now ranging from 17 degrees at Paris. Actually, it's 20 in Paris, 18 in Mattoon right now. 17 with a little bit of light snow in Springfield. It's 18 in Decatur under a cloudy sky, but Pontiac is sunny in 25, Bloomington sunny in 19, Danville sunny in 23. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour is 20 degrees with the dew point at 16, 84% relative humidity. Wind out of the west at 21 miles an hour, creating a wind chill of 4 above. A little bit of fog, falling barometer 30.41. And on our friend's Plaza thermometer, it's 20 degrees. It's 19 minutes before 1 o'clock. Illinois government's on its way to getting a bigger cut of your paycheck. Governor Quinn is expected to sign a tax package that the General Assembly approved last night in its final hours of its lame duck session. We heard from the governor a few moments ago. Democrats did it without Republican support. It was a last-ditch effort to tackle a budget situation that all agree has spiraled out of control. There's no debating that something had to be done, but as Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky reports, critics say reaching into the pockets of taxpayers is not the answer.
Depending on who you talk to, the hike will either save Illinois from insolvency or it will perpetuate the habit of overspending that created the state's $15 billion deficit in the first place and drive out businesses in the process. What's undeniable, it will dominate the state's budget and economy for years to come. The director of the governor's budget office, David Vaught, says it can't be escaped. Illinois needs more revenue. The state is out of money.
In the crisis. You can't persist in a crisis like this at all because it's going to continue to have deleterious effects across the board to those who contract and do business with the state, to our school districts, to and ultimately to our economy. You just can't operate as a deadbeat state.
Governor Quinn has been largely silent about the package, but Vaught says the governor does fully support it, and he's expected to sign it into law. Once he does, the tax hike will take effect immediately. Even retroactively. The hike in the income tax rate from 3 to 5% will be applied to all wages going back to the start of the year. That's a 67% tax hit, which means that someone who makes $40,000 a year will owe the state an extra $800.
You increase the burden on people that work, and you take somebody that has a $20,000 or $40,000 income and you make them pay for our mistakes.
That's Republican Representative Roger Eddy of Hudsonville, who says legislators are literally making Illinois residents pay for their mistakes and in fragile economic times when families can least afford it.
We're not taking responsibility for our irresponsibility. We're saying to the people of the state of Illinois, for 8 years, we've overspent. Now we're going to make it your problem.
Republicans say before taxing more, legislators should have combed through the budget to eliminate waste. Instead, they say what's being touted as a spending cap is actually a $5.5 billion increase in disguise, a costume rife with opportunities for even higher spending. But House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry insists the cap is real. She says legislators have an incentive to stay within the limits because the penalty is so steep.
This is intended to see to it that we use taxpayer money wisely and well, that we limit spending and any effort to go beyond the targets, the caps that are set in the bill would result in the automatic disappearance, automatic elimination of the income tax increase.
She admits it'll be tough to stay within those limits. Curry says health care and pension costs will continue to rise, in effect forcing the legislature to make cuts to human services and elsewhere. Legislators will have slightly less money to work with than originally planned. The House defeated a plan to make smokers pay an extra dollar for a pack of cigarettes and send that money to schools. Also left out was any form of property tax relief. No agreement on borrowing money to pay overdue bills means those who are owed will continue to have a long wait. What was able to pass was slightly less of an increase in the income tax for individuals and for companies than what had been on the table. But businesses are still balking at how much more they'll pay. The corporate rate will go from 4.8% to 7%. Greg Bays heads the Illinois Manufacturers Association and says it'll hit companies just as they're trying to recover from the recession.
In the past several months, Governor Quinn and every lawmaker has promised to help create jobs and grow the economy. Based on this particular legislation, the only businesses that will benefit from are the moving companies that will be helping many of my members move out of this particular state.
The increases are temporary. They drop some in 2014 and go down again in 2025. In 14 years' time, the personal income tax rate will be a half point higher than now, an approximately 17% increase. But that's down the road and little comfort to taxpayers who will be unhappy with paying more. Lawmakers can take the credit for finally doing something to deal with the state's budget mess, but they'll also take the blame. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Here's a tax controversy from across the Atlantic. Rome has long been a destination for tourists, from backpackers to religious pilgrims. Recently, city officials decreed that all hotels, even campsites, must impose a new tax on travelers. As NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports from the Italian capital, hotel owners are furious.
There's a carnival atmosphere in Rome at the end of the Christmas holidays when Romans and tourists flock to Piazza Navona. Reggie Mudd from Nashville, Tennessee, is snapping photos of the crowds and Baroque fountains. He has heard about the new hotel tax, but he's unfazed about the extra cost.
I mean, coming to Italy is expensive, you know, to begin with, so a little bit more. I mean, are you not going to come because of it? I don't think so.
However, Italian tourist Giorgio Severini, visiting with his family of four, is angry.
I guess we have to pay, but I don't know whether it's justified. And in any case, they should have warned us ahead of time.
The hotel tax went into effect January 1st. It varies according to the type of accommodation. Each person over the age of 10 has to pay from an extra €1 a night at campsites and bed and breakfast to €3, that's about $4 a night, at luxury hotels. The Rome City Council estimates it will raise more than $100 million a year, and it promises to use the funds to remove some of the city's major shortcomings and offer better services. That's a tall order. Roman traffic is so bad it even drowns out church bells, and walking in this city is a feat not for the faint-hearted. Pedestrians have to elbow their way through thousands of cars parked along narrow streets and watch out not to sprain their ankles on ever-present potholes and broken cobblestones. Francesca Corsetti, concierge at a three-star hotel in central Rome, says her client's number one complaint is about the poor quality of public transportation.
Sicuramente non coglie il plauso della gente, molto disappunto.
No one is happy about this tax, that's for sure, both because it's steep and because nobody knows whether services will really improve.
Tourism is Italy's number one industry, and Rome is arguably the cradle of modern tourism. Its ancient ruins and Renaissance artworks have attracted visitors for centuries. Rome was the focal point of the required educational grand tour, as conceived by writers such as Goethe, Stendhal, and Henry James. This may be why Romans tend to take for granted the annual tourist onslaught and have done little to make the city more welcoming. Independent tour operator Giorgio Sansa is worried. He says Italy is already losing ground to Spain, Greece, and Turkey, which are much cheaper.
We are too expensive. We don't realize that we need tourism. We have so much to offer. We have so much to show. We have some of the best cuisines in the world. We have culture, arts, but that's not enough. We have also to watch our prices because people are looking for the good bargain.
But the cash-strapped Rome City Council is undeterred. Not only has it imposed a hotel tax, tourists visiting city-owned museums are now being charged €1 more than residents. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
It's 12:47. You could call this clever advertising, or you could call it a lack of boundaries. Perhaps you've noticed that television commercials are now aping the look and style of whatever show happens to be playing. They're called podbusters, and they're designed to stop people on their digital video recorders from fast-forwarding through the commercials. NPR's Netta Ulibi has more.
Dan Portnoy is not a big TV watcher. He follows very few shows, but he likes his favorites a lot.
I'm a big fan of Mad Men, and so I watch it religiously.
One evening, Portnoy was speeding through the commercials as usual. He saw the program had started again, so he stopped fast-forwarding to watch the ad execs at Sterling Cooper banter.
Notice anything different about me?
You're gaining weight.
No.
You're getting shorter. You've lost a tooth. You're drunk. You're sober. A little bit of both.
Now, it looked like Mad Men. It sounded like Mad Men. But it was an ad for shampoo.
I felt snookered.
Still, Portnoy had to admit the ad was diabolically effective.
By the time you realize that it's an advertisement, you're pretty much all the way through the commercial.
Podbusters, DVR busters, interstitial ads. Whatever you want to call them, they've been a valuable weapon in the war to deliver eyeballs to advertisers. About 40% of U.S. households have digital video recorders. That means 40% of households can easily speed over commercials. So it helps a show like Top Chef get advertisers if it sprinkles attention-grabbing bits of content inside advertising blocks, or as they're called in the industry, pods. So it's near the end of Top Chef. You want to see who's won. You're fast-forwarding through commercials. You see the chef testants in the stew room, and you hit play to see the judge's decision. But instead, you get a minute of their behind-the-scenes dance-off.
You were doing it later, though, weren't you?
And some backstage chatter.
Isabella, man. Isabella is, like, the biggest kid out of all of us.
Check what your mama gave you!
Then there are more commercials. It's a trick to put podbusters towards the ends of shows during maximum fan engagement. There's other kinds of podbusters, too, like the ones featuring actors from whatever show you're watching. You've seen that if you follow Glee or 30 Rock.
That was a real good hugger.
For exclusive 30 Rock holiday fun times, card members go to nbc.com/American Express.
One ad executive told me the most effective podbusters drive viewers online, where they'll use social media to interact with their programs and the products that sponsor them.
We have data that will show second by second what viewers are doing during these commercial breaks, what kind of behaviors are going on. So we've gotten a much better sense of what works and what doesn't work.
That's Mike Rosen, a president with the media agency Starcom USA. I asked him if a recent 10% jump in TV ad spending had anything to do with podbusters. He said indirectly. Seeing ads